Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Marriage and Martinis is brought to you today by MyRuggable.com/marriage. And I love being the house that everyone comes to hang out at. I've always said I wanted my house to be so comfortable for people to really feel like they could relax when they came over. Ruggable is so great because if for some reason there's a spill or the kids chase one another inside with mud on their shoes and get the rug dirty, I don't have to worry. Ruggable rugs are machine washable. Throw them in the wash, throw them in the dryer, lay them back out like new. Even an 8x10 area rug fits in a standard washer dryer. All Ruggable rugs are resistant to spills and stains. Pour coffee, wine, juice, just about anything without the stress. They're also non-toxic, making them completely safe for your kids and pets. Check out their designer-created styles ranging from boho chic to traditional to modern, all made in the U.S. So go to MyRuggable.com/marriage. That's MyRuggable, RuggableMyRuggable.com/marriage to get 15% off your order, and free shipping will be automatically applied to your purchase. MyRuggable.com/marriage for 15% off.
Hey guys, welcome to Marriage and Martinis. I'm Adam and here's Danielle.
Hi. Well, you started that fast. I wasn't quite ready.
Hey guys, welcome back to Marriage and
Martinis. I meant you just like all of a sudden turned it on and started.
Yeah. Well, that's what we're doing, isn't it?
Yeah, but I didn't feel like I had any more.
Well, I just said to you 2 seconds ago, I have not been drinking hard liquor for a while now, and I was ready for you about an hour ago, and you said, no, I need time to work on your questions, work on everything. And I said, oh shit, I started drinking already. It's time to get recording. And you said, no, I need an hour.
Mm-hmm.
So, damn.
Are you drunk already?
My tolerance has gone away.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad
thing. I don't know. We'll find out. Go ahead. What you got?
Oh, Jesus.
I told you.
Well, first of all, I want to remind everybody, I haven't said this in a long time, to please make sure that the subscribe button is hit on your whatever device it is you're using. And not just for us, but for any podcast you listen to, it really helps. And it's, you don't have to listen to all the episodes if you don't want to, but it's just a really great way to help us out. And please, if you haven't rated and reviewed us yet and you are enjoying what you hear and you're getting something out of it, please, please take a minute. What are you laughing at me for?
Why are you starting with this instead of ending with it?
Because I just feel I feel like maybe right now while people are listening, if they're at their desk or whatever, they just do it right now.
Right. Just hit that subscribe thing.
Yeah, the thing. Yeah.
Hit the thing,
please. And then rate and review also if you can. And that would be really helpful to us. Oh, one more thing.
Okay. Don't ask too much of everybody listening.
I'm not. Okay. This is not asking anything of anyone unless they want to. I am going to be in Atlanta on October 13th.
Wow.
Which Adam let me know last night when I asked him to change my flight that it was going to cost an extra $200.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, that's what you don't think about. And you just say, oh, by the way, I have to change my flight.
Yeah, I do.
Not thinking about the cost to do so.
But you could just say, okay, sweetie, no problem. I'll do that for you.
Of course, I could say that.
Yeah, you could. Mm.
All right, let's save this for the next.
What?
We'll save it for another episode.
I don't know that I want to say
it. I know,
it annoyed the shit out of me.
I know it did, but I have a topic in mind that I think I want to use that one for, so I don't want to use it now.
You don't get to pick the topics.
Oh, I'm picking the topic.
Yeah.
Yep.
No.
Fighting episode part 2.
Yeah. I think every episode is could be a fighting episode. So, and they're going to, Good Moms Bad Choices are doing a live show in Atlanta. If you listen to our Good Moms Bad Choices episode, then you know they are awesome. They are even better in person. We can both attest to that.
We should do like a live show with them together.
I'm going to be there. You're not.
Damn.
Mm-hmm.
Tell them to come out here.
You're not a good mom. You do make bad choices.
Yeah, see?
But you are not a bad,
so
a good mom.
I fit half the bill and I can contribute 50%.
Fine.
Yeah. Then. Tell them to come out here. Let's do a live show with them.
Sure. I would love that.
Oh, they're so fun.
They are so fun. Yeah. And they are going to be in Atlanta. If you are in the Atlanta area or will be October 13th, I have to double check. I'm not prepared to tell you where or when, although there is a place and a time. I will do that another time or check on Instagram. I'm going to be posting. And I will also put it in our email. If you're not subscribed to our email, do that. But if you're interested in coming and having an awesome night with Good Moms, Bad Choices and a little bit of me, then come.
Okay.
Okay.
Can I come?
Nope.
Exactly.
No, because we already have to spend the extra money now on changing my flight.
Well, so I was going to be able to come enjoy myself, but now I can't because you have to change your flight.
Yeah, I don't want you there.
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't think I want to be there.
Mm-mm.
All right. Anyway, monogamy.
That's right.
Yeah.
Monogamy and more.
Oh, what's the more? Did you give me
any
questions?
Other things besides monogamy.
Oh, I was not aware of
that's okay.
And more.
That's okay.
Okay. All right. Go ahead. What you got?
You go ahead. You do this every fucking episode. There you have the question.
All right. That's it.
Right
so
there.
We're 5 minutes in. We're just going to get right to it. No more chit chat.
Yeah. Just get right to it because I have a lot for this episode.
Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm. In fact, we might need to do a bonus because I have so much information.
Oh, are we going to add a bonus to this episode?
Well, I was thinking about it. We'll see how it goes.
Well, do you want to explain what that means?
No, not now.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. Mm-hmm. Fine.
Yeah.
Do you think monogamy is a social construct, or is this really just the way we are meant to be?
Yeah, I'm assuming everybody knows what monogamy is.
You want to explain it real quick?
Just you marry one person or with one person supposedly for your entire life. I think it all stems from originally the idea, and I'm sure it comes from a ton of different places, but Adam and Eve and, you know, the back in Adam took, what, his rib or something
well, that's,
and made
that's
Eve.
The Bible is how old? Do you know?
I think it depends on what your beliefs are, on okay. How old it is.
Because the stats that I have go way back beyond the Bible.
Right.
Yeah.
But I also, for monogamy, you mean?
Yes.
Yeah, but I think people also think that the whole Adam and Eve thing is sort of the beginning of monogamy.
Okay, well, all right, this is getting a little religious, so we should probably steer away from that.
Well, I'm not saying whether or not it's, I'm not saying anything negative about it. I'm just saying that's where a lot of people get their
I understand that. But there's so many years in between what some people believe when life started versus when the Bible
says
life
started. Well, I let
you take
care of the scientific part of it all. So
okay.
We'll get to that. But so, yeah. So do you believe it is a social construct? What was the rest of that question?
You're asking if we're meant to be monogamous, naturally.
Like, do you believe that? As a science guy, I'm interested in your beliefs on this.
Okay. I don't believe it's natural in humans. I don't think it's a thing built into our DNA that says, okay, you're born, meet a partner, a girl or a boy or whatever it may be, and you stay with them for the rest of their lives. I don't think that's the way we were made to be. Because only 3-5% of the roughly 5,000 species of mammals, including us as humans, are known to form lifelong bonds. Okay, so 3-5% of mammals are monogamous.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so it's a very low number, don't you think?
Yeah, for sure.
Okay. The modern monogamous culture has only been around for just 1,000 years. Okay, so this is why I was saying I don't want to talk the Bible versus evolution. If you're talking evolution, you know, we're 75 million years old as humans, okay? For the Bible, we're 5,000 years old as humans when Adam and Eve came to be.
So you just answered your own question. Is that how old the Bible is? 5,000?
Isn't it? Something like that?
I don't know.
I don't want to claim to
I
say.
I do want to do a religion episode. Oh, and no. We'll do. No, it's not oh no. I'm more personally about.
Okay. Yeah, that's fine. But it's tough to answer this question because people of faith believe in the Bible wholeheartedly. and people of science believe in evolution wholeheart. Like, I don't want to choose sides. I don't want to say what we believe.
Okay, so personally, you believe.
So, personally for me, I go with the science evolutionary-based progress of humans, okay? So, to say 75 million years ago, when people were first actually becoming people from primates, we were not monogamous. That's just not how we began. But I want to get into that a little bit more later.
Okay.
Okay, so I just want to keep it brief for now.
You don't believe that there's one person for everyone?
I don't know. Maybe. Except for me, of course, because you're the one for me.
Absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely. but as a species, for a lot of other reasons, no, I don't believe that we are meant to be monogamous. Mm-hmm. I have a lot more that I have here, but I want to get into it a little bit later.
Okay.
So what about you?
Yeah, I can't look at it scientifically because I don't know shit about science. I can only look at it from the standpoint of, I think personally, when I was growing up, I think that I grew up in a very traditional household. I think in some ways we were progressive, but I think in most things we were pretty traditional. We've spoken about my dad as a religious man. My parents met at 14 years old and 16 years old and have been together for 54 years, married, yeah. You know, longer than that together. But, you know, married at 21, kids at 23, just everything. My mom was a stay-at-home mom. My dad went to work. Like, just, we were a very traditional household. And I think I never knew anything outside of, you meet somebody,
yeah,
you're going to get married.
I have that too.
You're going to have kids. I didn't even know of, you know, now you hear about polyamory and all these other, I knew there were people, I knew about polygamous cultures, maybe as looked at as, you know, polygamous, not polyamorous, polygamous, right. Meaning, you know, you see the pictures of the old man with 13, you know, four 13-year-old wives and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. So I knew about that as being, what's the word I'm looking for? As being, when something...
Wait, while you're thinking of that word,
yeah.
I just want to preface this with, by the way, we're in the northeast of the United States.
Yeah.
Very heavily populated Western cultured area. So what we're talking about is what we've seen, known,
oh, yeah,
and grew,
well,
up with. I just
want to
make sure people
about.
Understand
what we've
where
seen.
We come from.
And I'm not saying now that this is what I believe at all.
I know
all.
That. I just want people to understand where we come from, that whether we agree or disagree with the things that we're saying, this is why we are the way we are.
That's all I'm
because
saying.
Of where
this
we live.
Is what I know.
Yes.
Yeah.
I just want people to know who's
where we live.
There's people all over the world that listen.
How
so.
We were raised. Absolutely. And I'm going to get into soon about how I feel about this. But I do think that when I was growing up, there was no, oh, maybe I'll be polyamorous and find myself in a situation where I'm in love with three people and I'll be in an open relationship and I'll be with one person this day. And polyamory is such a general concept with so many different branches and ideas and everything. But what I'm saying is that monogamy is the only thing I knew.
Yeah. Well, we grew up in, like I just said, in New Jersey, New York area of the United States in the 1980s. So we saw our parents who, it was a man and a woman. It was the 1980s, so AIDS was a big epidemic. So the gay culture was kind of looked down upon back then because it was, if you were gay, you were at risk to getting AIDS, getting diseases, getting STDs. So we lived in a culture where you saw a man and a woman. They were together, just the two of them. They raised kids, and then that passed on. And that's just the way life went. That's the way we all went on.
Mm-hmm.
So we saw this very strict guideline of how things were supposed to be. was it ingrained in us? Was it meant to make us say, okay, if it was your mom, you would say, okay, I'm with your dad. We had you. Now you go meet a man and go do the same thing.
And I don't think they never outright said that.
No,
to me.
I'm just saying the way we saw the world. Shaped.
Yeah.
Yes.
So I think that when I was growing up, first of all, I've spoken many times about my OCD, and you mentioned AIDS. I was very much shaped by AIDS. I was under the thought and the idea that if I was sexually active, I would be highly at risk for AIDS. And it was everywhere when we were younger. It was on the cover of every newspaper. It was, and for me, I was extremely fearful, irrationally so, of getting
I can't believe that.
AIDS, of getting
no,
STDs.
You were irrationally fearful?
But that shaped a lot of my sexual exploration when I was younger, unfortunately. I say unfortunately now, and I mean that looking back, because it was a very unhealthy way to look at sex, that it was a lot of shame involved in my mind and everything. And so you talk about also the idea of monogamy as making it at that time less of a chance to get an STD. Well, that was what I was doing. I was, number one, trying to follow the lead of what my parents would want and what I think the people around me would want. We didn't live in a society or in a place where we could say, I think I'm going to try an open relationship. And people would say, oh, yeah, that's cool. We would have been so shunned and so looked at as I keep trying to find the word. Like, what's the word when you're outcast? I can't think of the word right now. I'm blanking. But we would have had a target on our back for all kinds of scrutiny, and it would have been ridiculous.
Well, that's what I was saying before, because we grew up in the 80s. You couldn't be. You would be shunned, right?
I don't know what the 80s has to do with it. I think it's just recently becoming more of an accepted thing.
Well, I would say in the last 10 to 20 years, the gay culture, the polyamory culture, all these cultures have been being more accepted. But in the 80s, it was fearful because of AIDS, because of, you know, that's why they call it coming out of the closet, because you had to be in the closet if you were gay. Because you couldn't come out, because in those days you couldn't do it. You had to be you were fearful, either number one, of your life,
yeah,
either through STDs or people who were just against gays. So that doesn't exist today. Well, it does exist. To the extent that it existed back when we were growing up. So it wasn't even an option. Where today, at least, it's an option. Thankfully, that there are options to come out and
depending where you are.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
That's why I was bringing up the 80s when we grew up.
Right. And I'm not saying that I blame my parents. They didn't know any differently or anything, but I don't think that as much as I think they're open-minded in some ways, I don't think they were open-minded in the sense that had I come to them and ever, not that it ever crossed my mind because I didn't even know about it, but had I come to them and been like, I think I want to try something different. Here, come meet. This is my boyfriend and my two girlfriends.
Well,
they would have. I mean, of course, they would have been a shit show.
Yeah, absolutely. But it's a sign of the times.
No, I mean, totally. I don't blame them.
Right. If you did it today, you'd have a different reaction.
No, not from my parents. I'd have the same reaction.
You think so?
Absolutely.
Oh, I don't think so.
Not again, not that I think that makes them bad.
No, not at all.
They're going to love me no matter what. That I do think. And they're going to accept me, I think, no matter what. It would not be just a normal fly-by-the-seat-of-your-pants kind of thing.
No, but I think it would be whatever percent better today than it was 30 years ago. I absolutely think so.
Yes.
Because things are changing. Society is changing. Things are becoming more okay.
And I'm an adult now. I can make whatever fucking choice I want, as opposed to when I was 17 living in our house.
Yeah, but their reaction, I don't think, is equal to whether you're an adult or you're a child. They're still your parents. So if you were 18 or 40 or whatever age, I think if you came to them and said, hey, here's my husband and my two wives, you think their reaction would be the same 20 years later, 30 years later?
I don't know. I think that that back then they would feel maybe like they had a little more control over it, whereas now how they can't control what I do. But anyway, I feel like they didn't know any better and didn't know any different. And most people in where we grew up didn't know any different. And even today, I feel like if you and I, that's where I come into the whole, well, what about now? What about now? Would we ever try a non-monogamous situation? And I say to myself that non-monogamy is becoming less stigmatized in more progressive parts of the United States. Like when we were in LA, I felt that. But and in the Bay Area, San Francisco, I know it's a lot more accepted and more common also. But where we live, I still feel like it would be highly judged. I still feel like if today you and I decided, you know what, let's have an open relationship, and other people in our community found out about that, I think some would be cool with it. But for the most part, we would be that couple.
Oh, totally.
Yeah, we would be that. Hey, oh my God. Look, you see that couple over there? They're the ones who have the open
relationship. But it does exist.
And our kids would have a target on their back too, because they would have those parents.
Yeah. But you know, it does exist.
Sure.
It's around. So.
Yeah. And on the one hand, I think I give people so much credit who realize that they need that in their lives and they need that kind of relationship and do it despite the blowback that you get for it, because I do think that they're living their best life and that's what they need. And I, a little bit to my own, I upset myself when I think to myself, you know, maybe if there wasn't the idea of that I'm going to be so scrutinized that, yeah, maybe, I don't know, but that's not the case. And I worry about our kids and what would happen to them as the kids whose parents are in the open marriage. And what happens to them not having grown up with that being the idea, you know, the standard, or, you know, being normalized. How do they process that in their minds if all of a sudden you and I were like, you know, kids, I think we're gonna try polyamory. We're gonna try for an open relationship. Mom's wanted to she's wanted to experience being with a girl, and I've maybe wanted to be with other women. Or how at this point do you normalize that in their minds?
Wouldn't that kind of be the start of a thing?
Yeah,
a thing, right?
Drink where, everyone who's home, not driving, and who drinks and who, yeah.
When your kids see the way you are. And if we were out there and either swinging or having an open relationship where we talk to the kids about it and say, listen, this is okay. It's just as okay as monogamy, but this is a different lifestyle, right? So then they would grow up
and
thinking,
I would say that to them.
Absolutely.
I would say that to them now.
I know that.
Right now, whether or not we did it.
Of course.
Yeah.
But if we were that way and the kids saw it, just like we saw our parents being monogamous and being just with each other and that's it, if our kids saw us doing what we were doing as normal, then they would be open to, you don't think so?
Yeah, if we had done it from the time they were really young, but we now have a 14-year-old.
Well, it could take like 2 or 3 generations for them, you know, to realize like...
Or that just that if you're born into that and you grow up with that, then it's maybe more normalized. But to all of a sudden, when they've had parents who it seems like
are just going to be now,
together. Yeah, I'm saying now.
As teens,
yeah,
you know, preteens, the whole thing.
Yeah.
Right.
So I just feel like that would be a lot for them to process. And I feel personally that it would be unfair to do to them at this point.
I don't think it would be unfair. I think it would be confusing.
Right.
But not unfair.
Here they are trying to figure out their own sexuality and everything. And then they're like, I'm going to throw this on you on top of it. Here's what dad and I are trying. And we're going, you know, we're changing our entire lifestyle. And I just, I don't know. I feel like it would be a little bit, it could make it harder for them.
Okay.
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't think as much as you're saying.
No.
No.
I don't know.
Okay. I have a couple of reasons here that would be good to be monogamous, reasons that you should be monogamous. I don't know if you have any of that.
I think we should take a break first, and then we'll come back and do,
Okay.
We'll take a break. Sure, I have reasons.
Okay, be right back.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Okay, reasons to be monogamous.
Monogamous?
Did I say that?
Monogamous. Is monogamous like bonerogamous?
Boy. All right. Reasons to be monogamous. I have a few. Did you have some?
I have, yeah. Yours are probably science-based and mine are just
What's your first one?
Oh, my first?
Yeah.
My whole thing with just being monogamous at this point, it's all based on the fact that this is where we live and it's easier in some sense, which is a fucking cop-out excuse and a terrible excuse. And I hate that I'm even saying that. Because it's the norm, yeah. And because I don't know how I feel about, again, I don't know how I feel about at this point saying to my kids, this is something we're going to try. And yes, it's easier. It's sure. easier yeah. in a sense. But there are reasons why it's harder, and we'll get to that. But also, I like that it's me and you at the end of the day. I yes. like the feeling of that. I do. I like that.
Well, at the end of the day,
that's one thing that we share with each other that is what?
If you're non-monogamous, at the end of the day, it's me and you, right? During the day, during the night, whatever it is, however it works, it's not. But when you come home to me and you.
Right, like you're saying, if you have an open marriage
yes.
and we have an agreement that one of us, we can go out if we want. And
like, I love you, you love me, we go out and have fun, but we come home to each other.
Oh, you're saying even if we have an open relationship.
Yes. Okay. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. I don't think there are a lot of famous couples out there coming out as having an open marriage, but there's one very open. I'm sure there are more than, I'm not just saying this is the one, but one that I love, and I like the show Younger on TV. I don't know if there are any younger fans out there with Hilary Duff, and one of the actors on there, Nico Tortorella, I always mess up his name. He and his, I don't know if it's his wife, I don't know if they're married, Bethany Myers, the two of them, I follow them both on Instagram. I really love them both. They just have such an understanding of who they are, and they're so open about everything. So I think they're married, or they're life partners. I don't know which it is, and I don't want to give the wrong information. But the two of them, basically, they always come back to each other. So they both travel for work and everything. And their whole thing is when they're gone from each other, they can do whatever they want. So they have other partners. I think they're both non-binary. So they go by they, them. And when they go out, so I don't know if I think they're both bisexual. And they go out and they have their own lives when they're away from each other. I think they obviously still keep in touch and everything, but they always come back to each other. They always, that's their
right.
hub,
that's
their home
base.
That's
what I was saying before.
Okay, but we were talking about monogamy, and you were talking about that we come back to each other.
Yeah.
When you come back to each other, that's not being monogamous. You're in an open marriage.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. I was saying from both points of views, but
right.
okay.
Well, but that is what an open marriage can be, that you come back and you have this one central
right.
grounded relationship, and all the others are these external relationships that you have when you're not together. And that's what they do. And they're really open and honest about it. I mean, he'll be posting pictures of him with other people, and I'm sure that they must have such an intense communication about it all, because you have to in order to have that trust and everything.
Absolutely. As long as there's no defiance of trust and there's no jealousy involved. That's how this whole non-monogamy thing
works.
Well,
they'll tell you about open relationships. There is jealousy involved, but you learn to control that jealousy, and you learn how to manage it.
Okay, but that's not
what
natural.
It's about. What does that mean? Okay, jealousy
right. So if you're if you're naturally jealous about,
I don't think in an open marriage, I think that they'll say that there's jealousy involved. It's about, can you manage it or not? Do you have the ability to compartmentalize or to healthily deal with that jealousy?
Okay.
And that's part of an open marriage. Sure, you might be. I think it's natural that your partner goes out and is with somebody else and you have a little bit of jealousy or maybe a lot of jealousy. But if you can keep it in check, that's what people in an open marriage or in these polyamorous relationships are able to do. And they'll say that there is a certain kind of person who can be polyamorous or can be in an open marriage. And the person who gets insanely jealous and can't control that jealousy probably does not belong in an open relationship.
But if you're, I know you're saying you're naturally jealous. Maybe some people aren't.
But maybe.
Are those maybe, the people
but
that
I think
should
jealousy
be?
Can be a little bit healthy in a relationship.
You think so?
I do. Why to a that? Degree. Like I'll say, sometimes I said it, I think, in one of the episodes from when we were in LA. The friendship with when we were talking to Jody and Celia. And I said a little bit with the opposite sex. If I had a guy friend and you were like, oh, yeah, just go ahead, go out with them. I'd sort of be like, really? That's it? Like a little bit. If your jealousy of me going out with another guy as a friend, I like that a little bit. That little bit of jealousy shows that you want me, you desire me, you care what I'm doing. But I think the difference in an open marriage is that people learn because of the communication and because of the trust and because of, I think, just innately maybe who you are as a human being, that how to control that jealousy and how to keep it in check and not let it get the best of you. And that's the difference.
Okay, but if you are innately jealous, can you control it properly? Like, is it okay to control that? I would think that if you're the type of person who has no jealousy, then...
Does that person exist? I mean, I know people say I'm not a jealous person, but is there anybody who really is never jealous?
I don't know. Right. I mean, it's hard to think about because we're not that way. I don't know if I could say, yeah, go out and do your thing. I'll go out and do my thing. Then we'll come back together. There'd be too much jealousy.
Well, yeah, that is...
That I can't control it.
That I feel like with you... I do feel like I think you are a very monogamous person.
Yeah.
I do.
Why?
I think you're more monogamous than I am.
Really?
Yeah. I think that I probably could, if everything were to line up and I knew that my kids would be fine with it and there wouldn't be a ton that we would have to deal with the ramifications from it and everything, maybe... At some point, I would say, yeah, let's do it.
I completely disagree.
I don't.
I had this for later, but I think for the time, like at the moment, we would both be like, all right, let's do this. It's going to be fun. It's exciting. And then the next day, you would be the one that would be like, fuck you. No way. I can't do this.
If I did it too?
Yeah.
I don't know.
I don't think you could come back to normal.
I don't know about that.
Really?
Yeah, I don't know about that.
Wow.
But I will say that we always talk about whether or not you cheated that time. And no, I don't think that you did. I don't think you have ever cheated. But if I found out that you did, I would 100% be like, okay, see you tomorrow.
But that's completely different.
But what I'm saying is...
That's being unfaithful. That's lying.
I know.
That's...
What I'm saying is that I would go out then and probably do the same. I'm not saying that's the healthiest way to do it, but I sort of feel like you got to have an experience like that. Okay, I want to have an experience like that too. And maybe, just maybe, I don't know, maybe it would make it worse, but maybe it would also be like, okay, now we're even again.
Wow. Okay, so if I came to you and said, hey, look, I cheated on you. your response would be like,
now?
Yeah.
Now, if you said I cheated on you, I'm done.
That's what I thought. Okay. Right. That's what I would think.
No, I think that back when we were discussing everything, I think maybe when I said to you, okay, tell me now, this is the time to
okay,
tell
so
me.
Okay, so if tonight I went out and I met a girl and I had sex and I came home and tomorrow I told you I came clean.
Bye.
You go bye.
Bye.
Wait, but you just said.
Because just fucking come to me beforehand and be like, I want to go have sex with someone and let's talk about it.
What?
I'm serious.
So I could say to you, all right, listen, I want to go out and have fun tonight. I want to meet a girl.
The result would be far better.
Wait,
than if you came to me after.
What would your response to me be if I said that to you?
I'd be like, I want to have sex with a girl too.
Oh.
Now it together.
Oh. Shit.
No, I think it could be a discussion. I do. I think it could be a discussion. I don't think that certainly you coming to me the next day. At this point, had you said that to me 15 years ago or 10 years ago, fuck that. I was not open-minded and ready for that. That would have been a completely different scenario. But now I feel like it would be a conversation. I'm ready for that conversation. I was not ready for that conversation 10 or 15 years ago. I was not at the same place. I've changed since then, and my beliefs and my ideas about things have changed. But certainly come to me before, not after.
Come to you before and say, hey, I want this girl. I want to go out. I want to have a date.
A date?
Or whatever. I want to go fuck this girl. You'd be like, okay, let's talk about it.
No, yeah, I would want to talk about it. I'm not saying it would be like a, okay, let's talk about it. It might be a, what the fuck, but let's talk about it.
Interesting. Because I don't feel that way.
It would probably start as a what the fuck.
Yeah, because I don't even.
You don't feel like that if it was a guy or if it was a guy or a girl.
You?
Yeah.
I would be like, okay, then go do your thing and I'll see you when I see you.
I'll see you when I pick up the kids next time for visitation.
Yeah. Like, what's the point?
Really?
Like, why? What? Like, what do you? I almost kind of get, like, if you're like, I want to try this lesbian experience kind of thing.
Right, well, that's what it would be. I'm never going to come to you and be like, I want to have sex with another guy.
Yeah.
Not, I shouldn't say never. If I meet someone incredible and I feel like...
What's incredible?
I don't know. If someone like blows me off my... Or sweeps me off my feet.
Blows you off?
Blows me off my feet. Sweeps me off my feet. No, I don't know. I don't want to say never because I don't know. But more likely, it's about experience for me and having different experiences at this point in my life. So that would be the only thing.
Yeah, I think if you came to me and was like, I met this guy, we're gonna go out tonight, I'd be like, fuck you, see you later, we'll talk and split the kids.
No way. Really? You'd be that close-minded.
For a guy, yes.
Oh, for a guy.
For a girl, not so much.
Okay.
Yeah.
But I did ask you something about that, right? I did ask you, hold on, what was the thing that
I asked you? Well, do you think that monogamy was, I'm going back to this first question of if it's a social construct or, you know, innate within us, was it created at some point like to keep order in a society?
Probably.
What do you think?
Yeah, I do. I think probably that it has a lot to do with order. And
I kind of do. Like, I feel like we're these cogs in a, you know, wheel where it's like,
I don't know what a cog is, but keep going.
You didn't see the Jetsons?
I mean, I've seen the Jetsons.
Right. What was his name? It was Spacely Sprockets and something.
Poor
Cogs.
Jane. Jane probably wants to have a lesbian experience because she's so much hotter than George.
Well, first of all, it was like 2050 in the 1950s, and it was still like the man working in the woman home and like.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, yeah.
Right. And like the biggest thing was the most futuristic thing was that they didn't have to walk to get across the house. They could like go on a.
It was the Flintstones, but in the future.
Right. Yeah. Right. Well, I'm watching a show now. I watched The Affair, and it's the last season. The daughter is grown up. It's like 40 years from now. But the 40 years, whoever wrote it, it's like ridiculous the stuff that's happening in the future. That it looks like it should be 400 years in the future.
Not, oh, really?
Yeah. Like they did I think they did a really bad job.
All right.
Again, I'm no scientist.
What were we talking about?
We were talking about if it sets order.
Yeah. So we're like cogs in a wheel. We're in this society where it's like man, woman, kids in a house. And then you look, it's house, house, house,
oh,
house,
sure.
house, family, 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 work, work, right. work. But like, it's all just to keep things going and to yeah. keep things in
well,
order.
Isn't that the Western culture?
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. And I don't know. I, you know, I would never be able to design a society, but I would imagine that, yeah, you if you keep people in this controlled environment, then you're, the results that you're looking for are going to, you know, if you're.
It's almost like a Twilight Zone episode.
Right. Like you know? We're living a Twilight Zone yeah. episode. Yeah. A little bit that it is scary how controlled we are by it all, because a lot of the decisions that I do make are, oh my God, am I going to be shunned in society?
Right.
It's scary.
You've got this husband. You've got these kids. I got to do everything mm-hmm. right. Mm-hmm. I got this house. I have to have this car. They mm-hmm. have to go to school. They yeah. have to, you know, like everything
it's
has
weird
to be
that
so
in none
in
of
order.
The Black Mirror episodes,
yeah.
there's no, like people are still in regular like monogamous relationships.
What the fuck happened to Black Mirror?
The fourth season got a very good review. We must be
really?
Idiots. Yes, the fourth season got a very all good right, review.
Black Mirror, if anybody has not seen the Black Mirror, it's the... In my opinion, one of the greatest shows ever made.
You're welcome.
You told me?
What? Yes, I have told you all about right. every good show.
Seasons
you've ever
one,
watched.
Two, and three, right? So four is the most recent. We hated them.
Yeah, hated them. Well, I liked Miley Cyrus. I do like Miley Cyrus, but
it was too. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, it was yeah, bad. Yeah, but anyway, it's just interesting that their relationships are still sort of all based on monogamy and everything in that. Futuristic show, but yeah, it's all it has to be all about keeping people in the way that we want to be kept. And let's come back, because I want to talk about a question that I asked you that I think is really interesting, and I'm very interested to know your answer.
Oh no.
Yeah.
Yep. Wait, you asked me already?
Yes, you should have answered it.
Oh, I hope
all right.
so.
Yeah,
all right.
We'll come back.
Back.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Okay. You had a question for me, and
oh yeah. So I asked you if you could have a sexual experience with someone else while we were married and come back and everything between us would be 100% the same, would you do it? Like, let's say it's a parallel universe. You could go out.
Okay. If it's a parallel
universe. Did you not answer this?
I did.
Oh. So then why are you acting like you never heard the fucking question before?
No, I'm looking through my... But... all right, it's a parallel universe.
Okay, fine. Okay. I just know that for you, you'd be like, oh, I would never.
In a parallel universe, I'm me, but I'm not really me.
Okay.
It's like another version of
fine,
me.
Fine, I understand.
So I'd be like, go ahead, go do whatever the
okay,
fuck you want.
Okay, so go ahead. So would you do it? You come back, you can tell me about it or not tell me about it. Everything between us would be 100% the same. Would you do it?
If it was a parallel universe, okay, fine. So I think for... us, you and I, it's a touchy subject because like I said before, I think it would be fun in the moment. I think we could both go out and do this. But the next day, I think would be a disaster.
Okay, that's not the question.
Okay, I know, but I'm struggling with answering the question because I know reality. I know us. I know how it would be. This question relates to every question that you ask me. Yes, of course I would. And I think,
Of course.
Yes.
I didn't know if you were going to answer like that.
Yes, of course I would. Only
what
because.
The no, I'm just
yeah,
kidding.
I know. There's nothing that I think I'm missing from you. There's nothing. I don't have a fantasy that I think you would never fulfill. There's nothing I would say to you, hey, let's try this, and you wouldn't do it.
You know?
no, we tried it, did it,
right,
it's done,
right.
Not happening.
You fucked that up. Go ahead.
There's nothing that I'm missing. The only thing that I think is exciting to people who are non-monogamous is the excitement of other people. And I see that. I get that.
It's not just about excitement. There's way more you get from being with other people than just excitement.
Well,
don't try to pretend to understand what they're thinking when they're not.
Well, no, I'm not. Sexually, there's nothing that I'm looking for that I can't get from you. The only thing would be is a different person.
Right. It's not, but you're excluding it to just sex. These connections are about way more than sex.
Oh, I don't want more connections.
Right.
Yeah. I don't want that.
Okay. No. That I know.
No, this is sexual.
But
this
but
is completely
polyamory or non-monogamy or open marriage. Yes. Is it about sex? Sure. In a lot of cases, I'm sure it is. But it's also about connection and experiences and a little bit. I think there are people out there who they want to try and explore certain things and their partner can't give that to them. So then what do?
Well, that's
you,
what I'm saying.
If we live one fucking life, like if you're not Shirley MacLaine and you don't believe in multiple lives, you live one life. Isn't that... are you okay with saying never? Never? I will never?
To me, it's purely sexual because I'm not looking for an emotional...
right.
You
that's
know,
true.
Contact.
That's different.
I'm not
yeah.
looking... Sexually, there's nothing that I could think of that I need that you can't give me or provide for me or, you know, are not willing mm-hmm. to do. The only thing is it being another person. Is it the excitement of a different person or mm-hmm. the naughtiness of I'm married and it's another person?
Mm-hmm.
Right? So it's those kinds of things. Like I'm being bad. I'm doing the wrong thing.
Well, for me a little bit, it would just be, okay, well, we've spoken about this before.
Well, for you, it's trying things that I can't give you.
Okay, but even more than that, that we've spoken about before, that you, if we're going to break it down to sex, okay, into sexual experiences, which I think it's about more than that. Although from my friends, I can get emotional connection. I don't need to go out and have an affair to have my friends give me like real emotional connection.
Yeah, you can go out with your girlfriend to get
absolutely.
Something I cannot give you.
Totally.
Yes.
Right, and that's not cheating, although there are times when I think I have felt more connected to them than I have to you. But
fine.
I have not gotten sexual to them with them. But we've spoken before about the fact that you, before we got married or before we even got together, you had a lot of sexual partners. Now, do I think they were all amazing sexual experiences? No, I don't.
Right, of course not.
But you did have a lot of sexual partners. How many what's the average number of sexual partners you think a person has in their lifetime?
Six.
Oh, you're pretty good.
I am good.
People's average sex number varies from country to country. In a survey by Refinery 29, they took 2,000 adults in the U.S. and Europe and found that people in the U.S. had an average of 7.2 sexual partners in their lifetimes, while people in the U.K. had an average of 7 partners. So same kind of thing. I have had 2 sexual partners in my life. And the first one was literally just to lose
have
my
sex.
Virginity.
Yeah.
So a little bit, we got married when we were 24. We were together when we were 21. I don't remember exactly. But I have had 2 sexual partners. So a little bit, I'm sort of just pissed at myself that I didn't have those other experiences before. And it's the same thing. I was living in New York City. I had OCD. I was worried about my mental state if I went out and explored and did all these things. I no longer feel like that. I no longer would be held back by fear and OCD and all that stuff. I've dealt with it all. So I'm at a different time in my life. But for me, a little bit, it's just like, what the fuck? Why did I settle down so early and get married so early before I did all this shit?
Well, why didn't you say that in the beginning?
Because I didn't know.
Damn.
Because my entire focus in life was to settle down and do exactly what I was supposed to do.
So you're admitting that you were wrong to
I'm
force
admitting,
me into early marriage.
Fucking A. I forced you into early marriage.
Yeah. But you're saying the same thing as me, that it's purely sexual. It's purely with a different person.
No, I said if we're breaking it down to be about sex, then
yes.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I'm not. I'm at this point in my life, I will be honest, and I've said it a gazillion times. One of the experiences that I was just listening to a podcast, and I can't remember which it was, and the woman was like, "Of course, a lot of women at this point in their life are looking for same sex relationship, because we don't want to deal with more of this shit.
Well, we've dealt with this, I think, in the recent past. I think we were maybe like 5% into the idea of a swinging relationship kind of thing.
I don't want it to be swinging. Swinging, do you know what swinging is?
Yeah, of course. Where, as a couple. Yes.
It's Dr. Chef, who was on our polyamory, she wrote The Polyamorist Next Door. She was on, I think, in February. If you haven't listened to the episode, it's interesting. She says that you can equate swinging to something. It's something you do once in a while. It's a hobby. It's not a lifestyle.
Yeah, it's for fun.
It's a hobby.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's not something that defines you as a person. It's a hobby. Polyamory, open marriage, is a lifestyle.
Yeah, I think that we didn't explore polyamory. I think we explored the idea, 5%, the idea of swinging, maybe.
Who did?
You don't think so?
When did we explore that?
I thought you did. I thought you had the idea in your head that maybe we would try something.
Swinging with another couple?
Yeah.
I have no interest in that whatsoever.
Oh, I thought you did.
None, zero. I don't even remember exploring it.
Oh, okay.
No interest.
I thought you did.
No interest in other couples. I think that's the beautiful thing about open marriage is that you can both decide what you want to do and whatever your specific, there's a lot of ways to go with it, but you're communicating about it. And open marriages, like I said before, are known to have amazing communication. There's no, you wake up the next day and I'm not going to say no, I'm sure it happens, but you wake up the next day thinking, I feel like my husband is cheating on me, or I don't know where he was or who he was with. Or you have to be very open and communicative in your marriage or in your relationship. Mm-hmm. So that, you know, there's definitely benefits to it. And if our kids one day come to us, and I think our kids are going to be a lot more progressive than we were. But if they one day come to us, I'll get it. I'll be like, I understand why you want to do that. And that'll be a whole conversation I want to have with them also, because it's a big decision. But I get it. Whereas I don't think my parents would get it even a little. Mm-hmm. So I think we should take this over to a Patreon episode, because I have more stuff, but we're getting long. So this is going to be,
I think this is going to be our
first episode. I have more stuff that I want to talk about as far as why women are more going to lesbian relationships later in life.
I have stats.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think we need to go into a Patreon episode. If you head over to...
So head over to patreon.com/marriageandmartinis. That's where we are for exclusive content, including the rest of this episode.
And we're going to start videotaping our episodes and putting it up there.
Videotaping.
Videotaping.
Wow. Yes. Like you have the big camcorder on your shoulder.
I thought you got a big camcorder for it.
with the big like VHS tape, and mm-hmm. you put it in, right?
Mm-hmm. Oh, that reminds me of my grandfather. Yeah. Oh.
All right. So, yeah. So head over there now, and you can get the rest of this episode there.
Patreon. No, it's an extra episode, right?
Well, it's the
and
bonus
And we're also
going to
put an episode of us from when we were in LA and our experience in LA.
More episodes there.
Yeah, we have lots of ideas over there. So if you really want to keep the potty going.
Potty?
The potty going.
Is that a thing? Potty?
Potty.
All right.
Then head over to patreon.com/marriageandmartinis. And what is the cost?
The cost is...
Oh, shit. You don't know shit.
For just...
3/4, baby. He does 3/4 research on everything.
I'm right here.
Oh, okay. All right.
For just... the price of one beer for $5. For $5.
Yeah.
A month.
Uh-huh.
You get more of us. You get bonus shit. You get the extended episodes. Mm-hmm. You get the no ads. Mm-hmm. You get video. You get bloopers, which if this is not blooper enough.
Right.
We got us some more bloopers.
Every episode I'm always like, I wish we had saved the shit that went bad. We're going to start doing that.
Yeah, there's so much you have not heard that you're going to only hear on Patreon. So go over to patreon.com/marriageandmartinis right now, sign up, and you'll get more of us.
Okay.
If you want more
of us. Yay, I'm excited about it.
It's really cool.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, okay.
All right, and thanks everyone for listening, and we love you.
All right. Bye.